Chapter 15. Cianie finally tucked her last paper spell into her bag, careful not to disrupt the organized chaos within. Organized chaos. Many necessary things, all needing careful placement. Cianie understood Emery's method of interior decorating just a little better now. She and Emery had not used every piece of paper, just most of them, and their many intricate folds made the bag bulge at Cianie's hip. Her fingers fluttered over the shield chain around her torso, pinching each link to test its security. After checking the entire chain twice, she called Fennel with a whistle and a snap. Emery stepped aside to let the paper dog pass. Fennel's expertly crafted paws left 4 toe prints in the thin layer of dust covering the dry, flat earth, but the prints vanished nearly as quickly as they appeared. "I need you to fold up, Fennel," Cianie said. Fennel whined, and she added, "I don't want you to get hurt again, and it's wet outside. Just for a little while."
"Will it be?"
Emery asked, once more scanning the expanse.
"Just a little while."
Cianie gave him a soft smile before commanding Fennel, "Cease." Fennel stilled in her arms, and she folded him softly in her freckled hands. "Your doubtful side isn't very strong," she remarked. "You must be sure about a great many things." Emery didn't answer. Tucking Fennel far down into her bag, she said, "I think mine would look much different. More cliffs and surging rivers, or lots of roads with unexpected turns, maybe even some lions. I've been doubtful about a lot of things in life. Including you."
"But no cracks," Emery commented.
Cianie glanced over her shoulder to the chasm rupturing the land, wondering for a moment how much more sand had fallen into it since her hurried paper lessons.
"Plenty of cracks, but no canyons."
"Not yet," she affirmed.
"I guess it all depends on how this goes."
She stood, brushed off her skirt, for what good it did her, tested the shield chain for the 3rd time, and checked the stitches of her bag strap. She had memorized the location and number of all the spells within the bag already, should she need to retrieve them quickly.
"Good luck,"
Emery said. "Thank you," she replied. "But how will you..." Cianie turned to him, but met only the stretch of empty pre-dawn space beyond the canyon. The paper magician, at least this version of him, had disappeared. She barely had time to recognize Emery's absence before the ground began to quake. Cianie reached out for something to steady herself with, but, of course, she found nothing amidst her barren surroundings. The land shook in broader and broader patterns, bucking back and forth like a rodeo bull. Cianie took 2 steps away from the chasm before she stumbled to 1 knee and skinned her palm on the hard earth, which had begun to fade, revealing deep red flesh beneath it. The vision slowly collapsed. The sky broke like shards of glass. The hearts, pum, pum, boom, drummed so loudly, Cianie felt it in her lungs. The pulse accelerated, and the last of the vision faltered. The walls of Emery's heart throbbed and rippled. The beat grew uneven, and Cianie's breath quickened. It didn't sound right. It didn't feel right. If Emery's heart destroyed itself trying to free her... Her hands turned cold. A world without Emery Thane. Her entire world up until a month ago had existed without him. But to go back to it now? The thought made Cianie sick. It crushed her. The rivers of blood lining the perimeter of the chamber engorged and rose. The air grew thicker and hotter, as if she hung over a pot of boiling water, ready for cooking. The heart wrenched one way, then another, and Cianie felt herself fall. She landed on her side, her left cheek pressed to wet, rough rock. Damp, cool air encircled her, clinging to her clothes and skin. Tasting of salt. She heard the sounds of swishing and spurting nearby, waves crashing against rocks. Pale sunlight filtered through the mouth of the black cave. The sharp cry of a gull startled her to alertness. She was free! You did it! Cianne whispered, pushing herself to her feet and spinning to the rocky shelf that still held Emery's beating heart in its pool of enchanted blood. Still beating, but even weaker than before. She could still save him if she hurried. She hoped. Her eyes shot back to the cave's mouth. Morning, early morning. But had it been one night or two? Exhaustion pinched the center of Cianne's muscles and the edges of her brain, but it could not tell her how many hours it had accumulated. Cianne swallowed, realizing for the first time just how thirsty she was. She approached the heart like a priestess to an altar. Would it need its pool of gold-rimmed blood to survive the trip back to London? It had beat in Lyra's hand after she had pulled it from Emery's chest without a spell, at least without any Cianne could see. Then again, she knew little of the workings of magicians' hearts and almost nothing of excision. She needed something safe to carry the heart in, but as she considered her options, the salty air began to burn her nose, and the blonde hairs on her arms stood on end. Licking her lips, Cianne turned around to face Lyra, whose dark hair fell in perfect, lush waves over her narrow shoulders, whose dark eyes narrowed to lightless almonds, and whose red lips curled into a sneer. Setting her jaw, Cianne stepped away from the heart. She would allow no spell of Lyra's to miss her and strike it. She would keep Emery's heart safe, especially from the woman who had treated it so very poorly. If the Excisioner was surprised to see Cianne, she didn't show it. Her pale skin flushed almost prettily with anger, or perhaps hate. Cianne couldn't be sure. Such loathing had never been directed at her before, not to this magnitude. Cianne took the first words for herself. "Stand down, Lyra," she said, straightening as tall as her 5'3" frame could straighten. "You want to escape? Then go while you have the chance." Lyra smiled, looking distinctly like a cat gone half feral. "Not when I have 2 hearts to take with me. Grath will find them such a handsome prize, even if I only let him keep yours." She lifted a bloody hand, her blood or another's, Cianne couldn't be sure, and with it rose from the ground 3 pairs of severed, undead hands that Cianne had failed to spot as the uneven rock of the cave floor had concealed them. Cianne's windpipe constricted, reminding her of the bruises dotting her neck such hands had given her before. For a split second, she felt herself paralyzed, but the whispered beating of Emery's heart regrounded her, forced her to move. Her hands shot to her bag as Lyra's shot forward, sprinkling droplets of cold blood throughout the cave. The undead hands, fingers pudgy and swollen, rose like birds into the air and shot toward her on invisible wings. Wings. Birds. Cianne grasped her paper birds in her fingers and yanked their folded bodies from her bag. "Breathe!" she gasped as the hands charged her. "Attack them!" 2 birds fell crumpled to the cavern floor, crushed from where Cianne had landed on her bag after escaping the heart. She stiffened, but 7 square-bodied cranes heeded her command and sprung to life in front of her. Orange, yellow, maroon, white, 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 and gray. Their quick flapping hummed through the cavern, their long necks stretched forward as they sailed for Lyra's bodiless army, and Cianne could almost hear them caw a selfless battle cry just before striking their targets. 1 bird collided with each hand, save for 2 who struck a half-rotten hand at the same time, 1 at the thumb, the other at the ring finger. The hands closed around the birds not 4 paces from Cianne, and, as in the prison, fell to the ground. Cianne's mind spun. Adrenaline coursed up her neck and down into her legs, making her skittish. She had to get out of the cave.
Emery's heart rested too close to the battle. Lyra blocked the entrance, conjuring her next spell. Cianni already had hers set.
Focus on your target.
Emery's voice spoke in her memory as he had during his quick lesson in the new spell.
Feel it in your mind, like your story illusions. If you do, the stars will hit their mark.
Reaching into her bag, Cianni pulled free 5 tightly folded, 4-cornered paper stars, just like the ones Emery had worn going into that awful warehouse. She and Emery had folded them so tightly they hadn't been affected by the crushed bag. She locked her eyes on Lyra's muttering lips and bloodied hands, threw the stars, and ran for the cave mouth. The stars spun through the air like pinwheels caught in a summer storm. Cianni didn't watch to see them meet their target. Lyra's frustrated scream told her enough. The morning sunlight, white behind thready clouds, burned her dry eyes and sizzled against the ocean that stirred about the black rock coast below her. So deep, so hungry. The water sprayed cool mist over Cianni as she darted over the uneven shore. A whip of amber kelp looped around her foot and fell away again, perhaps sensing Cianni's urgency and deciding not to take part in it. She didn't get far before a crackling ribbon of gore circled around her. The shield chain encompassing her torso stiffened. The bubbling blood warped away from her body and crashed into the wet rocks, staining them in patterns like spiderwebs. The spell's residue left a metallic taste in the back of Cianni's throat. Lyra scowled and pulled a small vial of blood from the tight waistband of her slacks. It looked like her supply was getting low. "A parlor trick," she said with a grin that was almost a grimace. "Do you really think a little paper sash could stop me?" She advanced one step, uncorking the vial with a long thumbnail and dumping it into her hands. The blood coursed over her palm and dripped into the small, swirling streams of salt water between jagged rocks under her feet. "It has 3 times already," Cianni countered, taking one step back for Lyra's every step forward. "So I'll say yes." Lyra smiled sweetly, and for a moment Cianni could see why Emery had been drawn to her so many years ago. But the expression soured as Lyra's brows drew together, her forehead creased, and her nostrils flared. She said something in a bizarre tongue and waved her bloody hand as if she were throwing a cricket ball. Cianni's hand thrust into her bag. She braced herself for Lyra's attack. It struck from behind. The red-veined waves crashed into her like a blizzard wind, cold and blinding, nearly knocking her to the uneven ground. A jolt of alarm, as if she had been burned, shot from navel to crown. She ran from the wave so as not to be pulled into the ocean, but it had already done its damage, soaking her to her skin. She felt the power drain from her shield chain. 2 links between her shoulder blades gave out, and the chain flopped down to her ankles, nothing more than soggy pulp. Cianni felt as though her own blood had been drained away with the wave. She searched her bag with white, shivering fingers, pulling out spell after ruined spell. Her paper fish, the elaborate confusion sphere Emery had folded himself while she had made the stars. It had been meant as a distraction for... Her hand touched the symmetrical rhombus beside Fennel. Dry, protected by the bodies of the crushed spells, as were Fennel and her binding chain. They all buzzed softly beneath her touch. The thin stack of unused papers had protected them, thank God. Lyra closed the gap between them, a cat stalking a grasshopper, as Cianni dropped wet spells at her feet. Cianni stumbled backward, trying to keep the Excisioner and her bloody hands at bay. Her heart hammered holes into her chest. Her skin itched. She swallowed against a dry throat. She'd rather face Emery's shadows again than be here, so unarmed. But she couldn't run, not from this, not back to Emery, cold and heartless.
"You're weak, just like him,"
Lyra said with a sneer. Worthless. All Falters are. Emery never had any real power, and neither do you. Cianne stopped retreating. She would not be a mouse, nor would she be a grasshopper. She dug her heels into the black rock. She had no confusion sphere, but she had other ways of distracting Lyra. He signed the divorce papers the night he hid you, she said, letting her face relax into the sort of smugness she couldn't stand in other people. The sort of smugness Lyra would have worn, had her anger not boiled so close to the surface of her skin. You weren't as in control of the situation as you think. Lyra's countenance didn't alter, save for the slightest quirk of her left eyebrow, but Cianne noticed. Lyra continued to advance. Cianne held her ground, trying to ignore the cold sweat beating down her spine. You weren't in his heart either, she added. Not how you are now. Not outside of a prison cell, at least. Or didn't you notice? Lyra paused 8 or 9 paces from Cianne, her eyes narrowed to slits. She looked like a snake, a coiled viper ready to spring. Cianne had insulted the flesh magician's vanity, or perhaps, deep inside the dark, hollow chambers of her heart, Lyra still cared for Emery. No, not cared for. One didn't rip out the heart of a man because she cared for him. No. To Lyra, Emery's heart was a souvenir, a trophy, something to be owned, a sick sort of revenge for hunting Lyra and her kind down. Emery may have been Lyra's lover once, but he had become her bane, her nemesis, her scourge, and she hated it. Swift as a falcon, Lyra drew her long dagger from her belt, her enthusiasm knocking its sheath askew. She held the knife out to her side like a broken wing and rushed Cianne. A distraction. Lyra didn't attack with a dagger, but with her crimson-stained hand.
You must understand, Patrice, that excisioners are a tricky matter, Magician Hughes said. They are wildly dangerous, and if they touch you, they can pull magic through your body. It is a killing magic.
Cianne dashed to the side, her right foot caught between 2 rocks, causing her to pitch forward. Lyra's outstretched hand swiped the air where Cianne's head had been. Struggling, Cianne jerked her foot free, leaving her shoe wedged in its place. Jagged rock bit into her sole through her soaked and soiled stocking, but Lyra didn't allow her any time to dwell on it. Lyra spun, dagger windmilling through the air. Cianne leapt back, barely avoiding the tip of the blade as it whistled past her breast. Darting into a few inches of water between teeth-like stones, Cianne yanked a paper glider from her bag. The folds fell apart in her hands. Too much water damage. Lyra charged. Cianne shrieked and scrambled to higher ground, dodging the hand that sought to enchant her own skin. Cianne rifled through the bag until she found a spell she could use. Breathe, she commanded the paper bat, who took to the air with a 2-sheet wingspan. It needed no more instruction than that, perhaps sensing its surroundings the same way Fennel did. The bat flew straight for Lyra's nose. Cianne's fingers grasped the binding chain, a chain woven with tight double rows of V-shaped links. The second spell Emery Thane had taught her in the Chamber of Doubt. Cianne whirled around, hair fanning around her neck. Lyra snatched the bat from the air and crumpled its right wing. Bind! Cianne ordered the chain. Like a shark in deep waters, the chain darted from her hands toward Lyra, who cut it into 2 uneven fragments with a broad sweep of her dagger. The binding chain's pieces flopped to the rocks like fish out of water. As I said, Lyra spoke, only somewhat breathless, no power at all. Advancing, she took the last vial of blood from her waist and threw it at her feet. A cyclone of scarlet smoke enveloped her, the same spell she had used to escape the dining room after stealing Emery's heart. Only instead of fleeing, Lyra reappeared a foot in front of Cianne.
Sienese exhaling breath dug claws into the soft flesh of her throat. Her hand shot into her bag for the rhombus, her last spell. Lyra grabbed her elbow, skin on skin, and held the dagger's edge just below Sienese's chin. Lyra grinned. Ignoring the blade, Sienese shoved Lyra away with all the strength her fatigued arms could muster and yanked the simple diamond folded paper from her sack.
"Do you know what happens when paper vibrates very, very fast?"
Lyra growled and rammed into Sienese, shunting her into an eroded rock shelf opposite the ocean. Lyra's hand clutched Sienese's neck, the point of the dagger pressed into her ribs. Lyra smelled like blood and old rusted coins. Lyra began to chant, and Sienese felt warm, eerily warm, too warm. Lyra's ancient spell seemed to coax Sienese's very spirit from her bones. She couldn't get away. She clutched Emery's spell in her hand, but she couldn't get away. She had to use it. Here. Now.
"Burst!"
Sienese whispered, releasing the paper. The rhombus began to quiver, faster and faster, buzzing like a hornet as it slowly, leisurely fell toward the ground. The buzz grew louder, higher, louder, higher. The diamond-folded paper exploded in a burst of firework and flame, blasting outward like a pistol with a blocked barrel. The explosion flung Sienese sideways against the cliff. The ragged rocks cut through the fibers of her blouse and into her skin. She fell onto her elbow and hip, the taste of ash filling her mouth. For several heartbeats, everything looked white and bright, like the morning sun itself. As color, shape, and shadow gradually returned to her eyes, a high-pitched note rang in her ears. A tuning fork struck and never stilled. She pushed herself up, arm aching, hip stiff. The rocky beach swished back and forth. Her temples throbbed with her pulse. Pum, pum, boom. Emery. Across the rocks, nearly to where the ocean lapped at the shore, Lyra sputtered and weakly tried to push herself onto all fours. Ebony drapes of damp hair hung over her cheeks. Sienese forced herself up, clinging to the rock shelf. The morning spun and tilted. That constant note, perhaps a high B flat, continued to ring inside her skull. She had to act. Lyra had touched her. All it would take was a quick recovery to recast whatever heinous spell the burst had interrupted. Bits of half-soaked papers lay scattered over the ground, fallen from Sienese's bag. Lyra's dagger lay on its side halfway between them, its hilt resting in a patch of lichen. Several gulls cried as they flew over the ocean, abandoning the site of the explosion. Though the ocean still swayed in her vision, Sienese ran for the blade. Lyra, peering up through her hair, staggered to her feet and sprinted for it as well. Both their hands lunged for the knife. Sienese's fingers grasped it first. Hefting the surprisingly heavy blade, Sienese shouted an unintelligible cry and arched the blade up and over her in an imperfect crescent. She felt something tug back on her swing, but not hard enough to stop it. The sharp blade pulled clean through. Lyra screamed. Blood rained over the shore. Lyra stumbled back, both hands rushing to her face to staunch the steady flow of red water pouring from a split cheek and gouged eye. Sienese dropped the dagger, feeling her stomach flip inside out. Lyra cried again and lashed out, backhanding Sienese across the jaw. Sienese fell, catching herself on raw palms. Lyra dropped to her knees, gasping and cursing, blood pouring between her fingers. She tried to chant her healing spell, but choked on every other word. Her blood had spilled everywhere. It dyed the tiny pools and streams of high tide water, stained the lichen,
painted crimson streaks across rocks and paper.
Paper.
Crumpled, damp, and torn paper, wet with blood. Numb, Cyanie reached for a dryer piece singed about the edges. Lyra's blood sluggishly soaked through its fibers. Her mind felt detached, her thoughts vacant as she touched the blood, the body's ink, with an index finger. Her mind didn't really process the idea. It merely materialized behind her eyes like a thread of nostalgia, as though it had always been there. It and nothing else. She wrote 9 letters and, with a shaky but strong voice, read them aloud.
Lyra froze.
And she did. Cyanie stared at the still image of Lyra hunched over and cradling her ruined face, tendrils of ice climbing up her legs and hunched back. Her grunts and gasps vanished, her lips parted mid-breath. Strands of wild hair hung in the air free from gravity's hold, as though someone had molded them in place with glue. Cyanie gaped. She had read the paper like an illusion, like Pip's daring escape. But this wasn't a story. Or, rather, it was her story, not an illusion at all. She stared at her bloody finger, but her thoughts, her ability to process, remained far from her. She returned to the page, wrote, and read, "And never moved again." The statue of Lyra remained unchanged. Cyanie stood, letting the bloody paper fall to the rocks. A small whirlpool of hungry salt water lapped up the words, sucking them back into the ocean. She backed 7 steps away from Lyra before a spot of brown on the ocean drew her eyes, close enough that she didn't need to squint to make out its shape. A boat. It held 2 men, their features too distant to be distinct. One rowed, oars flapping in sync on either side of the boat. The other knelt at the boat's helm, peering toward the coast. Cyanie thought of the morbid seagull she had seen upon her arrival, and tensed. The creature had been sent by someone. Why not these two? Only the boat's nearness pushed her legs to move. She turned back for the cave. Her soul yearned to run, but her body refused. It wasn't broken, only felt broken. Exhausted. Distant. She stumbled into the cave, followed its wall with 1 hand until she reached the bold shelf that held Emery's heart, still beating strong. She checked her bag, empty, save for fennel. She spoke to the dog silently in thought, thanking him, promising to restore him as soon as she was able. Then she picked a few pieces of him apart, careful not to damage the greater part of his body, and tiredly folded the links for a vitality chain, just large enough to encircle a grown man's heart. Cyanie fled the cave and climbed up the rocks before the boat reached the shore. She didn't look back. She found the enormous glider where she had left it and flew to London, carrying Emery's heart next to her own.